The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. On this edition of Century, we look at a bill working its way through the Maine legislature that would allow communities to establish supervised consumption sites. The measure is LD 1159, entitled An Act to Establish a Pilot Project Regarding Harm Reduction Health Centers. Let's hear from the bill's sponsor, State Representative Lori Osher.
My name is Lori Osher. I have the honor of representing District 25, which is most of Orono. And I'm here today to introduce LD 1159, an act to establish a pilot program regarding harm reduction health centers. To begin, I want to thank my co-sponsors, Senator Beebe Center, Representative Crafts, Abdi, Boyer, Dalek, La Rochelle, Reisman, Roeder, and Sayre for joining me in championing this legislation. I also want to thank the advocates and folks on the front lines of the substance abuse crisis, many of whom you will hear from today, for their dedication to saving the lives of people who use drugs in Maine. LD 1159 seeks to support Mainers who are challenged by substance abuse disorder by authorizing the creation of harm reduction health centers in communities. A harm reduction health center, also known as an overdose prevention center, is a community-based resource offering health service, health screenings, disease risk reduction, infection prevention, access to treatment, peer support services, and safe, supervised spaces where a person may use pre-obtained substances. The centers are staffed by addiction medicine physicians, nurses, harm reduction specialists, and peer support workers. The majority of these services are already available. What's not available and that LD 1159 proposes is that it adds a safe place to use pre-obtained substances. I introduced LD 1159 because it will save lives. And here are the specifics of the bill. It authorizes the creation of a two-year pilot project to establish and operate harm reduction health centers. The sunset date of the pilot project is July 2026. It requires that the Harm Reduction Health Center receive an affirmative vote of approval from municipal leaders of the community that the center seeks to operate in, including approval of the location and hours of operation. It provides immunity to state, the municipality, employees, and participants of the center from criminal or civil liability. It forms an advisory board of public health and harm reduction experts to guide the department in rulemaking, and it requires the department to report to the 123rd legislature on the effectiveness of the project. So LD 1159 is not something I created. It's modeled after successful legislation that established harm reduction health centers in Rhode Island. So this was overwhelmingly passed in 2019 by that Rhode Island House and Senate and signed into law by Governor Dan McKee as a two-year pilot project. After some delay, in large part due to COVID-19, Rhode Island's regulations for harm reduction health centers became effective in February of this year, of 2022. Rhode Island legislators and advocates are seeking to extend the pilot for an additional 2 years, and that legislation is expected to be successful. The House voted in favor 51 to 13 last month, and Governor McKee has promised that he'll sign it into law after it's approved by the Senate. So they're looking to extend their pilot. So Rhode Island's pilot project didn't ask the state legislature for funding. Instead, the project sought a novel source of funding, the settlement payment from the litigation against prescription opioid manufacturers and distributors. So now $2 million of those funds were earmarked for supervised consumption by their state committee. The first Rhode Island center is expected to open by the end of this year. For a quick history lesson, I want to draw a connection between what we're talking about today with the early days of HIV and AIDS crisis. When an unknown virus was killing hundreds of thousands of people in the United States, the majority of whom were gay men, hemophiliacs, and people who use injection drugs and their loved ones. It took years for the government to respond to that public health emergency because politicians allowed the stigmatization of the people infected with the virus to desensitize them to the need to take swift action. It took years to fund research and support safer sex education, to support the distribution of condoms, and provide free HIV testing. Politicians listened to the catastrophists who told them that supporting public health initiatives to reduce the infection rate would be a sign of support for gay rights or for the use of IV drugs instead of listening to the experts. And who are those experts? The people who were dying and the people who were seeing their friends dying. I cared for and buried friends who died of AIDS. And then I wrote to my legislators and participated in ACT UP actions, and I was horrified by the government's foot dragging. ACT UP, an organization of people impacted by AIDS, was clear about what was needed to address the crisis, but the U.S. government didn't listen. As the recovery advocacy community is doing now, they understand the problem and they worked diligently to implement the needed support services. So fast forward now, HIV testing and prevention services and treatments have reduced the incidence of HIV infection and turned AIDS into a treatable illness instead of a death sentence. As members of the legislature, we can learn from the past. Instead of inaction, we can learn from the past. Sorry for the duplication. That's why I'm partnering with the recovery advocacy community to introduce this bill, which provides an important service to reduce substance use related deaths in Maine. So there are currently 120 centers like this throughout the world, and some which have been in operation since 1986. There has never been a fatal overdose in any of the existing centers anywhere in the world ever. This is because the bottom line is that harm reduction health centers save lives. Additionally, and this is bolded because the city of Bangor, the counselors there talked to me about their concerns about needles discarded in the public domain. So additionally, harm reduction health centers reduce public drug use and the amount of public discarded syringe waste by offering indoor spaces for people who are unhoused and or who use drugs to manage their disease instead of in public places like parks. Sites like these are also estimated to save millions of dollars, with New York City estimating $7 million in annual savings across four proposed sites. Last year, in one of New York City's harm reduction health centers, there were 600 overdoses, but no deaths. Almost all of the overdoses, 590 of them, were reversed by provision of oxygen or naloxone. Only 10 of those people who overdosed required an ambulance trip to the hospital. So these centers save lives, they save money, and they unclog emergency rooms. Last year, 716 people died in Maine from preventable opioid overdoses, and hundreds more died from complications related to non-sterile equipment for substance consumption and from contaminants in the drugs being consumed. We must implement a public health approach to drug use in Maine, and one way to do this is to support and pass LD 1159.
That was Maine State Representative Lori Osher speaking before that legislature's Standing Joint Committee on Health and Human Services on April 10th about a bill she's sponsoring, LD 1159, entitled An Act to Establish a Pilot Project Regarding Harm Reduction Health Centers. There was a lot of really powerful testimony. We're going to hear some of that now. Let's start off with Courtney Gary Allen, Organizing Director of the Maine Recovery Advocacy Project.
My name is Courtney Gary Allen. Good afternoon. I know you've all been here a really long time. I'm the organizing director for the Maine Recovery Advocacy Project, MERAP for short. I also have the honor of serving my community as an at-large city councilwoman here in Augusta, which makes me one of the municipal officers that would have the opportunity to vote in favor of harm reduction health centers in my community if LD 1159 passes. I am here today to testify in my role as my professional role in favor of this bill on behalf of our network. I don't need to tell your committee how many of our friends and family members died last year. You've heard it time and time again. Your committee has considered and approved countless initiatives that seek to save the lives of our friends and family members, including treatment facilities, recovery community centers, recovery housing, syringe service programs, and more. All of those are vital, important tools that we need more of on the front line of the substance use crisis in Maine, but none of those things have a 100% effective rate. You've already heard today that harm reduction health centers do. There are currently over 120 of these centers across the world, and there has never been a fatal overdose in one of them ever in the entire world. The bottom line is this is about saving lives. LD 1159 seeks to do this by authorizing the creation of these centers in communities that want them. I think that's very important to highlight and to understand that nothing in this bill requires any city, town, or community to open a recovery community center. Harm Reduction Health Center. Actually, quite the contrary. This bill requires that any organization seeking to open a harm reduction health center receive an approval from the municipal government officers. If a community does not want a center in their community, they will have an opportunity to decide for themselves after we pass LD 1159. Furthermore, this bill, while it's called a pilot project, and to answer Representative Grammon's question, it's simply called that because the sunset clause, not because it's asking the Maine state legislature to fund it. Harm reduction and recovery advocates will be following the lead of Rhode Island by requesting opiate settlement monies, either through the Attorney General's pot of money, the Maine Recovery Council, which oversees 50% of the state money, or through cities and towns across Maine, which has 30% of the money. So there's lots of different pots of money that these organizations can go to seek the funding. And if none of those pan out, we will seek private foundation funding or philanthropy to support these centers. There's lots of people that want to see these open. And I don't think that that will be the barrier in the end. The barrier currently is that it's illegal to open them. To put it really simple, this legislation costs the state of Maine nothing and gives the power to communities to choose if this works for them. We are just simply asking the Maine state legislature to let us try this. Pass this legislation, give us 2 years, let us come back to you and show you the impact it will have. We just want you to let us save our friends' lives. And just to answer your question, Representative Meyer, harm reduction health centers, overdose prevention sites, and safe injection sites are all used simultaneously depending on which community. There's still kind of a conversation happening about exactly what they should be called. So this is much like what is happening in New York City. And to address your question earlier around Rhode Island centers are not open yet. They took a little while to get the rules together because of COVID, and they just received allocation from their opiate settlement monies and expect to open any day now.
So as you've heard this afternoon, we're all painfully aware of the impacts of the overdose crisis here in Maine. Every one of us individually and every Maine community has experienced loss and grief associated with a needless death. And it should be clear that bold, evidence-based public health interventions are needed. So I support this measure because it will save lives. Our current approach is simply not working. Our community members and loved ones continue to die, and our annual overdose numbers continue to climb to grim new record highs. Harm reduction health centers such as this minimize the risks of overdose and mortality associated with substance use. Approaches such as this exist here in the United States and in countries across the world. And in these settings, there has not been a single recorded fatal overdose. Some folks have mentioned the two sites in New York City. There have been 700 interventions in the case of overdose and zero deaths. And you heard the numbers earlier about Vancouver and other sites in Canada, and so I won't repeat them. In addition to preventing death, this approach improves public health access and enables pathways to recovery for those who are struggling with substance use disorder. Things like HIV and Hep C testing, wound care, reproductive health care, access to naloxone and training on its use, and more. Importantly, it creates a pathway to treatment and peer recovery support and counseling and access to a range of services, housing, employment, and access to legal assistance. And existing research has consistently shown that the presence of such community sites has improved public health outcomes, as well as reducing some of the social risks, such as discarded syringes, sharing of syringes, or consumption of drugs in public spaces, such as parks or public restrooms. Lastly, I think the scope of the crisis in Maine is changing public attitudes on the policy crisis, and this is where some of my research comes into play. So my colleague Karen Spohr and I have done statewide survey research on policy attitudes here in Maine, and our results suggest that Mainers are really shifting their thinking on our approach to the opioid and overdose crisis. There's a growing recognition that the drug war has failed. And what's interesting is that it seems to be the case that one's exposure to substance use disorder is actually a more effective predictor of policy attitudes than measures such as what party you belong to or where you grew up, your socioeconomic status. So what this suggests is as the number of Mainers exposed to the crisis continues to grow, we can expect support for bold, evidence-based public health interventions such as LD 1159 to increase. I think this is a critical part of the solution to the overdose crisis. It's a critical measure to stop preventable overdose in Maine. And our data suggests that it will eventually enjoy overwhelming support among Mainers, that these sorts of measures are growing in support. So for those reasons, I asked the committee to vote ought to pass on LD 1159, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great afternoon. My name is Marshall Mercer. I am the executive director of Hope Brokers Incorporated. We are a 501(c) nonprofit that focuses on creating spaces for the voices of the historically marginalized communities of Maine, and whatever abbreviation you want to give them. I once was formerly enslaved to the system that has been designed to keep us divided and conquered, and the drugs that helped enforce the people into enslavement. I spent most of the beginning stages of my life having to leap many hurdles, dealing with abandonment issues due to my mother's extensive drug use, and not having a safe space or support, or being educated due to the shame and fear of repercussions from the very people that were supposed to support her and love her, leading to her isolating herself only to the people and the things that accepted her, which were the drugs. Leaving me left alone to the evil devices of hate because ultimately everything she did was my fault. Her being gone and me being taken the weight of her being gone from within, not understanding why my mother would leave me to suffer from mental abuse and physical abuse I had to endure, but it gave me an overstanding of a society that has been divided and conquered by the system that we helped create. Fast forward years of abuse, years of addiction, years of imprisonment. With the help of this community, the very community we're speaking of today, and now the executive director of a nonprofit that empowers leaders to step forward in their search to find what recovery means to them. Through relational organizing, which consists of many different facets, peer support, harm reduction, leading people to the resources they need through active listening, and the community is saying that we want a safe place for them to begin their journey. The harm reduction community has gone across our own beloved country, as well as travel across the seas to get the proof in the pudding that we all keep seeking answers to, that there was never been a recorded death in a harm reduction center. A few years ago, we got 636 of our community members that died due to accidental overdose. This year, 716. We are doing something wrong, and it's time for a change. I have already lost most of my childhood friends and my mother and my father to the way we are allowing our people to suffer to recover. We together can make a change. LD 1159 seeks to authorize the creation of harm reduction health centers, also known as overdose prevention sites. In Maine, a harm reduction health center is a community-based resource center offering health screenings, disease risk reduction, infection prevention, access to treatment, peer support services, and safe supervised spaces where a person may use pre-obtained substances. The center is also staffed by addiction medicine physicians, nurses, harm reduction specialists, and peer support workers. I am asking you to be in support of this as well. Thank you for your time, and do you have any questions?
You just heard Marshall Mercer, the executive director of Hope Brokers. Before him, you heard Rob Glover, and that segment started with Courtney Gary Allen, organizing director of the Maine Recovery Advocacy Project. They were testifying before the Maine Legislature's Joint Standing Committee on Health and Human Services on April 10th in support of LD 1159, an act to establish a pilot project regarding harm reduction centers. Let's hear more. Nicole Gagnon is a resident of Westbrook, Maine.
Good afternoon, Representative Meyer and esteemed members of the Health and Human Services Committee. Thank you all for being here today and for your willingness to consider implementing a pilot project for a harm reduction health center here in Maine. My name is Nicole Gagnon. I'm a resident of Westbrook, and I'm here to testify in favor of LD 1159. Substance use disorder is a disease of isolation, and this is borne out by the numbers of people who fatally overdose by themselves. A coroner's report from British Columbia in 2018 observed that 69% of people who died of a drug overdose there between 2016 and 2017 were using drugs alone. It seems safe to assume that the numbers would be similar here. 2.5 years ago, I overdosed on fentanyl in my apartment one evening. I chose to use alone that night because I was ashamed of my use, was hiding it from my friends and family, and did not feel physically safe using with others. My mother found me 2 days later, blue and lying on the floor. My oxygen rate was at 70%. I was on the cusp of death, and I spent over a week in a coma. I'm lucky to be alive today. I truly believe that if there had been a harm reduction health center available that day, I would have used it. I didn't want to be using alone, but I couldn't find a safer way and couldn't control my addiction. It was a very scary place to be. Today, I'm 50 days sober, and I'm grateful to be able to testify for this bill. Since my overdose, I've been incredibly lucky to benefit from excellent addiction treatment, therapy, and access to Narcan, but there are still many who haven't been so fortunate. A harm reduction health center is not only a supervised area for people to use substances safely, it's a community space that offers a multitude of other opportunities, such as peer support, health screening, and access to treatment. It's a place where people can access care without stigma, and it can truly be a portal to recovery. In the midst of an epidemic with no end in sight, we need to grab every option and opportunity that values and sustains life. Please join me in supporting LD 1159. Thank you.
My name is Katie Morin. I'm a person in recovery, and I'm a mom of three amazing preteens and an Augusta resident. I am a committed Hope Brokers organizer, and I have experience organizing for the Maine Recovery Advocacy Project. I'm here to give personal testimony in support of harm reduction centers, for I know the road to wellness is not paved in gold, nor is there just one pathway that leads to one's recovery and personal wellness. As I shared, I'm a person in recovery, a parent in recovery. My children have experienced life with me during my struggle to do anything different than what my survival mode had been conditioned to do. Many different supports and ways of practicing personal wellness while I found footing on my journey has led me to know that harm reduction saved my life. Practicing harm reduction continues to be a vital part of the foundation in my recovery. I have been witness to harm reduction practices catapulting peers into their recovery journey, connecting with and being of support to others along the way that they hadn't been able to do before. It has allowed me to unlearn my survival mode strategies and have a more wholesome understanding of my children's unlearning of their own survival mode strategies, so we can all heal from the traumas and not die because we didn't have support in place that has proven to save lives. When our 716 friends, family, and neighbors had lost everything and found themselves at a point of ultimate darkness, they died, losing their opportunity in a harm reduction center to wake up another day with less shame, guilt, and despair. An opportunity to literally wake up and try again with gaining footing on their path of personal wellness. An option that creates empowerment within our friends, family, and neighbors, that sheds light into their darkest time because they aren't being left alone, shamed, and blamed for their circumstances. Lives are being restored, mutual support had, education lending insight to what isn't currently known, and ultimately healing are the realities of a harm reduction center. Oh, and no deaths. The data's in, folks. Harm reduction centers are a pathway that supports our friends, family, and neighbors in their process of learning to live well. I understand how challenging this panel's experience is in sorting out all there is when considering the harm reduction center. And I ask that there also be understanding in how challenging and detrimental it is for our communities to wake up another day, unsure of who we'll lose next, knowing we have the ability to provide an option that very well may be one's last. An option that breathes new life within our friends, families, and neighbors, casting light into their darkest time. I'm witness to many folks at their last option who have been supported in taboo ways, that have lended them the most powerful and inspirational experience on finding their path to personal wellness.
My name is Chastity Toole, and I am testifying on behalf of the leadership team and Maine Access Points today. We are testifying in favor of the concept and spirit of LD 1159. MAP stands in solidarity with the communities of drug users across Maine and the U.S. who have fought for decades for overdose prevention sites and safe consumption spaces. We have deep admiration for the hundreds of Mainers we know and love who save each other's lives daily while we wait for meaningful policy change. We remember those we have lost to the drug war, and we hold them close as we engage in advocacy for the services that they deserved years before today's conversation. As has been stated, worldwide, there's never been a fatal overdose at an overdose prevention site. And when looking for data, New York City had the first legal sanctioned site in the U.S., and in their first 3 weeks had 59 reversals. There's many other states that are proposing the same thing during this session, like New Mexico, Colorado, Connecticut. So Maine's not alone in these efforts. As we live within this public health crisis of increasing overdoses, infections, mass incarceration, and systemic oppression, we see LD 1159 as a catalyst for a needed dialogue. We support the intention of LD 1159. We'd also like to invite discussion on some possible amendments, specifically looking at a community based program that is separate from the government. While we need the medical model, we also need the community model, with a commitment that participants of these services are included at all levels of decision-making, program creation, implementation, and evaluation. We encourage looking beyond the advisory council model and offer an alternative structure that can be found in community-based models as well. We can do this in multiple places. We've seen programs like the Overdose Prevention Society in Vancouver save countless lives by providing drug user-led, peer-based services, and we believe that can be done in Maine. The power of overdose prevention sites is not just the immediate access to emergency medical care. It's the ongoing creation of drug user-led communities and comprehensive harm reduction services, including drug checking, peer support, safety planning, wound care, employment and volunteer opportunities for participants, among others. It's important to note that these programs are most impactful for population-dense cities. Maine's a rural state, and that will come with unique challenges. These will work in Bangor, in Portland, in Lewiston. We need to also consider services for our rural neighbors who are isolated and lack options for safety as a result. Maine's drug user communities are composed of individuals who will be most impacted by these services, and they're the experts on how to find safety with an increasingly unsafe drug supply. We respectfully ask that you look to these individuals and groups who work with them as you embark on the creation of models for overdose prevention sites and harm reduction health centers in Maine. And I just wanted to just bring notice to an article this morning in the Bangor Daily News about Bangor and the increased syringe litter. A program like this will address those problems. We will no longer have people leaving their syringes at the homeless encampments. They will have a place to go.
You just heard Chastity Toole with Maine Access Points. Before her, you heard Katie Morin, an organizer with Hope Brokers. And that segment started with Nicole Gagnon. They were testifying before the Maine Legislature's Joint Standing Committee on Health and Human Services on April 10th in support of LD 1159, an act to establish a pilot project regarding harm reduction centers. We'll continue following this story and we'll bring you more news as it develops, so keep tuning in. But for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so.
For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.